Hello, and welcome to the Airman's Edge podcast, an environment to have both personal and professional conversations about some of the positions that the Massachusetts Air National Guard has to offer. I'm your host, Tech Sergeant Tim Thorpe, a member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard's recruiting team. The goal of this podcast is to be both informative and transparent so that those who have contemplated answering the call to serve their local community and do something larger than themselves can make as informed a decision as possible regarding their future in the Air National Guard. Each episode, we will be highlighting one specific career field offered in the Mass Air Guard. With that, we will bring in a new guest to discuss both their career in the Air National Guard and their overall experience through the recruiting process, training, and serving. Today, we'll be talking with Technical Sergeant Jason Booth and his time as serving as a Geospatial Intel Analyst, career code 1N1X1A. The scores needed to go into this career field are 50 general, and you'll additionally need a 48 on the TAPAS test. Normal color vision is a requirement. The tech school location is Goodfellow Air Force Base located in Texas. The tech school length is anywhere from 110 to 112 days, which is roughly 5 months. The bonus currently affiliated to this career field is $25,000. The security clearance with this career field is a top secret SCI. With that, I'm very excited to welcome our first guest, Technical Sergeant Jason Booth. Today, I would like to introduce our inaugural guest, 1N1X1A, Technical Sergeant Booth.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this. Like I said, this is our sandbox episode, so we're going to figure this out together.
Love it.
All right. So I figure, I know you got your questions as far as being prepared. Little icebreaker, just because.
Yeah, go for it.
I need it.
Let's go.
All right. First thing that comes to mind, favorite movie?
Interstellar.
All right.
Because I watched it last night.
Awesome. It's going to go with this last concert.
Last concert?
Yeah.
What was it? I Prevail.
Nice. All right.
Through Vetix. Which, so another.
We can plug that as well.
Plug a benefit right away. Yeah.
There we go. Beautiful. We'll get back to that. favorite trash TV show?
I don't watch much trash TV. I was convinced to watch one episode of Love Island.
All right.
And that was pretty trash. So
there you go.
We'll start with that.
Your golf handicap?
8.2.
It's on record. All right. There you go.
As of this day, 8.2.
8.2. There you go. Very nice. All right, man. Again, I really appreciate you being here. Obviously, the goal today is to just really highlight the 1N1X1 career field. I know that there is, you know, limited stuff that we can talk about, but even in a generic form, kind of go over what you do for the Mass Air National Guard. And hopefully it helps to enlighten some people who may be interested in the career field.
Cool.
So just kind of leading off, who was your recruiter? And I guess how was the recruiting process for you, as comfortable as you're willing to talk about it?
Yeah. So Mass Sergeant Berger, is she still a master?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
So Mass Sergeant Kathleen Berger out of the Wareham office. She was great. So actually I got referred to her from another NCO that I work with currently still. And it was pretty smooth, honestly. I mean, it was like anyone kind of starts off like that first phone call of like, hey, like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be asking or doing, but like, I'm interested, kind of like, what would the process be like? And she was super helpful. So I kind of right off the bat explained like kind of what the purpose of the guard is, kind of the differences between like the Army and the Air Guard, because I didn't really know the difference at the time. And then I lived in the air, so pretty soon she was like, hey, come by the office. We have a bunch of stuff we can kind of show you and tell you. And she was super, super clear about like kind of expectations in the process, because everyone wants to know like, what am I going to be doing? Where am I going to be going? What's kind of like the rules of, you know, joining like the military? And kind of just made it like seem, I guess, not so scary. It's like, oh, you're doing this. I mean, although it is a big leap in life, kind of just made it feel like more like humanized, like, hey, like, here's actually what the process is. Like, here's what the day-to-day looks like. So overall, she made it wicked smooth. Which I know a lot of recruiters today kind of the same way. It's kind of like explaining the ins and outs of like how actual process goes from off the street to kind of getting the basic training to then getting into the unit and getting, you know, active in the real world.
That's perfect. And I guess your MEPS experience as far as your military entrance processing station, heading up there, all that went smooth for you, or as smooth as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's early. So I was out of Springfield. So I think with Springfield, it was like get there the night before. Up in early, like 4 or 5 in the morning, up at MEPS. And it's all kind of a blur. I mean, granted, it was 8, 9 years ago at this point, but it really was a blur. Like, you're in and out of appointments and tests and like evaluations and your ASVAB and things of that nature all day. So I couldn't tell you if I was there for 3 hours or 6 hours. It went by like a snap. But it's good. You know, it really is just exactly that. It's just kind of making sure like you're healthy, your mind's in the right place. Make sure like, you know, whatever your job you want to do, there's no potential ailments that may get in the way with that, initially at least. So, and then again, this is the ASVAB to see, you know, where you qualify for as far as jobs go.
Awesome. And then obviously after that, you came here, enlisted. I'm sure you were in a student flight of some kind for a little while.
Yep.
And then off to basic. And, you know, how was basic for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll jump back to student flight first.
Okay.
So kind of another cool benefit of the Guard versus active duty is once you do join up, there is the process of getting your clearance, getting dates of basic training, things of that nature. So the cool thing, it kind of gives you a leg up in the Guard versus other services maybe, is that they call it student flight. And really what it is that you are a student of the National Guard. So you're showing up on drills and you're learning the basics, right? So like, you know, rank structure, command structure, how to do facing movements, how to salute people properly, things of that nature. Basically, everything you're going to be doing in the first 72 hours of basic training, you're going to get fully trained up on those things when you're in that student flight. So I always tell everyone in student flight, the kind of when you first get the basic training and you're nervous and everything's new and it's kind of a lot going on, you already have kind of those first 72 hours of like what life looks like figured out, which makes the transition from civilian world into basic training that much easier. So whereas everyone else is coming off the road and just showing up, you already have all that background knowledge of like kind of how things should start out with. So it's a wicked helpful tool that we offer.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's one of those where, again, when we got there, it was exactly that. Like you see the active duty guys who are coming in from their program, mm-hmm. and they're still kind of figuring it out on the fly.
Yeah.
And we've had, you know, X amount of months
yep.
of coming here, getting paid for drill, doing student flight, and kind of getting to see what that first, you know, few days looks like
yep.
and having that leg up. One of the questions I know that, our boss Spike always likes to ask, and so I'm gonna mold it into this. Mm-hmm. Best basic training story. What do you got?
Best story. Also probably most memorable, honestly, as far as kind of being the best too. So I think it's changed now. I think Beast Week has been a little bit changed, if I'm not mistaken. Basically, what that was almost like a mock deployment type thing where you leave like your normal dorms that you're in and you go. It's kind of like a more deployed environment, like, you know, tents, sand, you know, wearing helmets and stuff, kind of like training for a deployed environment. And kind of just like literally getting the dirt in your boots and actually kind of like with like your flight that you've been with at that point for about a month or so, actually kind of like going through stuff with them, like, you know, doing trainings, you know, you get the fire, you know, rifles at that point too, like training of that nature, kind of just getting from operating like just yourself going through the kind of the steps of basic to where it's like operating as your flight going through kind of scenarios, probably the most memorable thing of that kind of like, okay, we kind of know what we're doing. And like, we're kind of like, you know, getting the actual, like I said, the dirt in your boots of like doing the real stuff. That was one of the more memorable things.
Absolutely. How'd you shoot?
One off of marksman.
Oh,
but granted, it was like, I went in the winter, to basic training. So it does get cold in Texas. It was like maybe 40 degrees, pouring rain, couldn't see anything past the goggles you have on. So you're kind of shooting and hoping, but
you, yeah. So you were one off for marksman. I think I was one on the board.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you did better than me.
they have much nicer rifles now, though, I've heard.
Oh really?
Yeah.
All right. Nice. So. I guess kind of diving in more so to the reason we're all here. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a quick over? I mean, well, transition from basic training. Mm-hmm. You go to tech school. Where'd you go to tech school?
So tech school is in West Texas, San Angelo at Goodfellow Air Force Base. That's where anybody intel is going to process through at some point. It's cool. It's not just Air Force intel. There's also Army and not Coast Guard, Marine intel goes through there. And so it really is like that base is intel across the board. And it's a really good transition because you go, in my case, right from basic training straight to there. You have kind of like a 2 week period to kind of get acclimated of like going from that kind of strict basic life to a little more kind of training wheels are off, kind of living your own little bit. There still is regiment, you know, still formation, you're still doing PT, stuff like that, but it's a little more relaxed. And basically, you're just learning your job at that point. So for me, geospatial imagery, but they also do every other intel discipline there as well. And so your normal schedule is like, it's like a Monday to Friday, right? It's like, you know, 7 to 3, if you may, go to school, learn what you need to. And then the nice thing is that usually your afternoons after like final formation are kind of to yourself. So you get a lot of opportunity to like, you know, if you want to start playing sports down there, pick up other hobbies. A lot of people go and they'll explore like other parts of Texas when you have time. Your weekends are usually, you know, to yourself as long as you have good behavior and stuff. But it really is cool that you get to experience kind of like a whole new area that you may not have, like, I don't think many people would go visit West Texas on their own.
Yeah.
So the fact that you kind of get to go over there and kind of like you're getting paid to do it first off, which is always great, but also you're learning your skill and you get to experience the area all at the same time. So you get a lot out of it.
Nice. Nice. And roughly how long were you there for?
I want to say it was approximately 4 to 5 months. I know the courses do change and also changes by your discipline, but mine was around 4 to 5 months.
Nice. All right. And then I guess, again, kind of leading that into the big question of obviously you come back home to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. You report to Otis Air National Guard Base. Mm-hmm. Again, as much as you can you give us a little bit of overview as far as what a geospatial analyst does?
Yeah. So two parts to that. So coming back from tech school, obviously in the tech school, you're learning how to be an analyst, a kind of like a baseline standard, like very, very elementary things, which for a geospatial analyst is identifying things, right? So how to identify tanks, how to identify certain aircraft, how to identify certain like landmarks, things. It sounds kind of odd, but like visually learning how to look at things, right?
Yeah.
When you get back from school with that baseline knowledge, you come here and we'll put you on a status for usually about one to two months where you're taking all those baseline skills you have and learning how to apply them to Massachusetts like mission efforts. So versus what like, you know, kind of like the simple stuff, it's kind of that next level development of using those skills in a more advanced nature for what we singularly focus on here.
Nice. All right. I've always looked at geospatial, and correct me if I'm wrong. What are those guys on the internet? They usually have like a YouTube video where they'll just have like a picture of a landscape somewhere.
Oh, like GeoGuessr guys?
GeoGuessr guys. That's, again, not knowing. Mm-hmm. That's what I assume you guys do. Like, I could just drop a picture and be like, hey, like, roughly, where are we?
So a bit more than that, right? So, I mean, so they're looking at a highway sign and knowing that they're in Cambodia. Impressive. But we're focused more on a tactical level. So we're using a lot of assets, satellites, spy planes, drones, things of that nature. Often looking into contested or kind of controlled environments to kind of, again, analyze what is there, right? So those skills of like identifying, you know, vehicles and, you know, massing of troops or anything of that nature, right? We're using a lot of these tools to try to just overall answer questions. That's kind of the name of the job as far as intel goes in the world is someone has a question, we're there to answer it for them. So whatever it is, wherever it is, we're kind of the people giving that ground truth, like literal eye in the sky of what's going on.
Awesome.
So a little more than just kind of guessing where you are in the world.
No, of course, yeah.
But that does matter because, like, again, in the school, you'll be taught things such as, like, hey, looking at certain terrain and certain, like, you know, the way the world is designed and stuff, how may, militaries or, you know, vehicles transverse a certain area or get around certain things depending on what the terrain is. So that actually is a part of the school is things of that nature, too.
Interesting. All right. Nice. Again, a big goal of this whole project is transparency. Mm-hmm. So I guess what would you say is something that can be challenging about your job?
So when it comes to intel and just kind of the one-on-one space as a whole, there's a few things. Start with that. When it comes to my previous point of like you're not answering questions, you may not always have the perfect answer, right? Like it's very rare for me to have like 100% definite, this is it. So one of the bigger parts is being able to be like, you know, geospatial analyst. Analyst is a big part of that. So even if you can't give a full answer and have full certainty, is using numerous methods and tools and also like your partners or your intelligence disciplines to give a best answer. So like the best analytic you can give, even if it's not certain. So it's challenging, but it's also rewarding that you might not always be right all the time, but it's striving to be as right as possible. Which again, I really walks the border of a challenge to also kind of like satisfaction of doing it. And then as a whole, when it comes to the intel world, it is a classified environment. It is a classified mission. So, you know, when you may get home from work and someone says, you know, how was work today? Really, all you can really answer is, you know, good, bad, challenging. You obviously, you can't tell them about the things you may have done and things you may have seen, which it's not so much the challenge as this is kind of like a barrier of just the job itself. You know, you can obviously still say, you know, my day was stressful. I had a hard day. You know, things didn't go as I wanted, and that's all fine. But at the classified level, obviously, that has to stay at work.
Of course. And again, like the hardest thing with which I appreciate, again, you doing this, is exactly those details. We've obviously done job tours together, and it's usually the same dance of like, hey, there's only so much I can tell you, you know, it's going to be generic by nature just because of the classification of the mission, which is totally understandable. I guess because you balanced the question out perfect. I was going to ask about the rewarding side, so I appreciate you balancing that. What kind of transferable skills from this career field, I guess, move into the civilian world?
Yeah, so it's kind of endless. And I say this not only as the imagery side, but also just as a member of the Mass Guard as well. I'll start with the imagery side on it. Surveillance as a whole, you can think of it as a lot of different ways. Kind of, again, like knowing what's going on in the ground can be useful in a lot of scenarios. Militarily, there's obviously that strategic part of it, but also domestically, whenever there's natural disasters, like I know this unit was activated during some of the flooding in Texas to help find, you know, people that were in distress in that time. So I know like Homeland Security and FEMA will use stuff like that. There's a lot of agencies within the U.S. that will use, you know, overhead imagery and stuff of that nature to actually like help out with local disaster stuff. Also, there's a lot of tools that you're going to learn that other companies may use. So when you're talking about, I'm just kind of brainstorming things like, you know, real estate development and like, you know, like, you know, designing towns and stuff. Hey, you know, how is the landscape made and how can we develop on that? Some of the tools that you're going to use and learn, you could actually apply towards things like that. On the other side of the coin, just being a member of the Guard and all the education that's available, which is really endless, kind of whatever you want to put in, you're going to get out. You can totally use a lot of those imagery benefits and do the geospatial stuff, but also whatever your degree you may choose to get in, you can really explore, obviously, endlessly, you know, whatever your degree is at that point. And when you can kind of tailor those together with, hey, you know, I have this managerial experience from, say, a business degree, but I also have the imagery skills as well. You know, you may start in a better role at somewhere like, you know, FEMA or Homeland or something of that nature.
Of course, and obviously having the TS also usually elevates that. And I think really circling back to one of the first points that you brought up with now Master Sergeant Berger, in the recruiting process, as far as the difference between the Army and the Air, the first thing that always comes to my mind is just the fact that we're college accredited. So when you're doing the technical school, when you're doing any education on the Air Force side, you're receiving college credits, which is always, you know, a huge benefit as far as being able to build that resume, not just, hey, I was in the Air Guard, but also, hey, I received my associate's degree from the Air Guard.
Yeah.
And kind of on the subject of benefits, is there one specific benefit that I guess you've felt really benefited you specifically or that you continue to enjoy using that's just helped you in your civilian life, military life?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to pick one, right? Yeah. Like we could probably do a whole second podcast on just the benefits alone.
Well, you're a VetTix guy, so.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, there's a list, but I'll start there. So there's websites, one's called VetTix. There's often, like, we see free concerts and sporting events and other events of that nature that you just get into for free simply for being a military member. There's a lot of other benefits, not even the education ones, but like shopping, right? There's websites, there's a shopping mall basically here on base as well. There's a lot of like just kind of day-to-day, hey, I need groceries. Hey, I want to buy a new pair of shoes or a gym bag. There's benefits that you get as a military member too on that. But obviously probably one of the best one that I've used is got to be the healthcare. Being full-time, which I am, it is no-cost healthcare with basically no questions asked. You know, if you've had anything go wrong, any kind of like emergency visits or even just like your normal physicals, I've never seen a bill at my doorstep ever being full-time. You know, it's nice kind of like as far as like day-to-day, like use everyday benefit. just the peace of mind that, hey, if anything were to come up, anything were to happen, that you're going to be taken care of. That's probably one of the biggest benefits as far as day-to-day.
No, I couldn't agree more. And obviously, again, you know, there's distinguishing differences between people like us who are full-time and your traditional drill status guardsman, you know, which as far as somebody coming in right off the door, maybe that benefit isn't afforded to them right away, but it's still low cost.
It's And if you look at the comparison between like an average family of four, what it would cost for healthcare in the state versus what TRICARE would offer, even for a DSG, you know, a part-time member, it's incredible, the options.
I my point of realization for that was having my son and our friends coming back with bills from the hospital that would have made me pass out. And like, I walked out of there just having to worry about making sure that this kid's, you know, was safe.
And so again, like the peace of mind knowing yourself and again, family is taken care of. You really can't put a price on that. And it being free makes it that much better.
Couldn't agree more. But at the same time, you were at the Travelers, right? Same deal?
Yes.
I know we didn't bump into each other, but
Yeah, free tickets to golf events. I got a free
I put that over the healthcare. No, I'm joking.
I mean, it's good, but no. But I mean, I was at a free concert at Fenway again through here 2 weeks ago. Like, there's the way I put it is, if you want to do things outside of work, usually there's some organization or some method that's gonna help you with it.
Awesome, Sergeant Booth. I think that's all the questions I have for you today. I can't overly express enough how much I appreciate you being here and being able to help the future geospatial analysts of the Mass Guard. So thank you again. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for watching. And I'd like to thank our guests and our fantastic public affairs team at the 102nd for helping produce this content. This is as new of a series as can be. Therefore, if there is something you would like to see in a future episode, or you have a question regarding the information in this episode, please do not hesitate to ask a question or leave us some feedback in the comments. If you have questions regarding your own future in the Mass Air Guard, please feel free to scan this QR code to fill out a contact card for one of our fantastic recruiters to be in touch with you. Finding out whether or not you can serve requires zero commitment. So if you have ever had even the most mild interest, find out if you have the authority to join. Contact your local recruiter and see how the Mass Air Guard can assist you in achieving your goals. Thank you for watching, and we hope this helps in giving you an edge in planning your future.